Sorry, I started.
Oh, you know, we will call a workshop for the planning commission for August 22nd. To order, because we have a roll call, please.
Chair Sattler.
Present.
Vice Chair Borders.
Here.
Commissioner Doers.
Here.
Commissioner Esswein. Commissioner Preston.
Here.
Commissioner Tingle.
Here.
Commissioner Wiggins.
Here.
O'Quorum's present.
Thank you very much. Public comment. Public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the planning commission, including any matters that matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. Seeing any public, yes, we won't have any public comment. See modification of agenda.
We'll take the two items in order.
Okay. D1, for discussion only, discussion on regarding possible amendment to the Carson City Municipal Code CCMC Title 18 zoning. So that they kind of explain how it wants to run it, we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just have about 10 to 15 minutes of presentation. You can interrupt me and have questions and leave in the rest of the time for discussion on the uses and definitions. This workshop is to consider those two chapters in particular, to go through those. You know, we started, you know, our first kind of workshop was at the Planning Commission, and our idea initially has been let's review and go through and understand Title 18 as it is now so that we can come back and make amendments. You know, we did 1802, the administration section, previously and got, you know, started to get a little feedback. I think, you know, we know some things where we want to go back and identify when we do it. With these sections, I actually went in a little bit, and there's some really obvious things that you can see. I've started to mark up, delete definitions that we don't use, except those types of things, and where there's other errors, just kind of move things around. But I didn't do anything that removes what's there existing, so you can see what's existing, so we have the discussion. I'd like to come from away from this with some general direction to be able to then come back later with more specific changes to everything to start to consider. I think that's kind of the purpose of going through this workshop and moving through and different levels through different sections that way. So today, like I said, I'll just give a brief overview on these two chapters, and then we can start the group discussion. Because the bulk of these two chapters is really the definitions, and then in the other one, the bulk of the discussion is about the uses. I just want to touch on a couple of other things in there really quickly, so the bulk of it would be group discussion. I do want to make sure we have a little bit of time at the end to talk about how we want to do this going forward, timing-wise, future meeting dates. You know, do we keep kind of this type of time if we have a large planning commission agenda to set aside time each month to do this, or how you want to do that? So we want to have time to do that. And we do, I do generally want to keep these things to a couple hours so we don't burn it out and just go and go and go in sections. And frankly, for me and us too, to be able to prepare for this in sections, prepare stuff just to break it up into smaller pieces. But there's another meeting tonight that both the DA and Tamar have to be at 5 o'clock, so we're targeting actually maybe closer to 4:15 to be wrapping things up for today. And what we don't get through today, so these things are informal, we're on no specific timeline to get something done, so if we need to come back and finish discussion on this next time, then we do that. Any questions so far? Approach, okay. Well, so let's jump into the definitions. I mean, you have the packet there. As I mentioned, I have printed the definitions and made some markings in there where I think there are some errors in terms of some of these proposed changes where there's words. I looked at every term and searched the municipal code, and if it's not used in Title 18 elsewhere, then there's no need to have a definition for it. So that's part of the definite. That's one of the things that have been deleted. There were some that have been shifted around where the words may be reversed as it's used elsewhere, so I moved them or definition around appropriately or changed it. in terms of that. And then, beyond that, I don't think we need to discuss a whole lot of specific changes to definitions, because that's going to be driven by all the rest of the changes in the code that we're going to make. If there's obvious mistakes, but I think, I don't want to spend too much time, because if we delete a bunch of uses that are defined, and we're going to go back, and as we delete things elsewhere, they get deleted from here or added, we'll add them, such as, as my example up there, right now we have guest building. That's what's defined in there, but we're going to, when we get to those applicable sections, we're going to be looking at accessory dwellings. We had a discussion about defining them separately and broader changes to that, so we need to add that. So when we get to that and we start coming up with definitions, then they'll start plugging into the definition portion of it. Any questions or comments on the definition section?
I mentioned yesterday, I met with Leo briefly, we were chatting and some other stuff. But anyway, the definition then is later that we remove, suddenly it's referred to, and you just go back, obviously, and add it back into the definitions. I know one thing Commissioner Borders brought up when we first started talking about this, and Commissioner Borders referenced it as well, is the fact not knowing what the definitions were, because you have Title 18 and then the definitions, and I don't know if there's any consideration or whatever to solve that quite simply, maybe to consider putting the definitions first, so that you would be able to see those to reference them, right, rather than going to the back of the definitions.
Before the administrative part?
Wherever, just I think, didn't you reference that?
Start with that.
Something about the fact that you'd have to go to the back to say what this definition is.
Well, it's in chapter 3, so that's
right.
That's about as far as we can
go. Okay, good.
And you mentioned, and we also mentioned, you brought up things like pharmacy and drugstore are really close together in definition, and I think we get to use this. Look at that, aren't they pretty much the same? But, if you have notes on things like that, I think this is we can start to identify those types of things. And also the other one you mentioned is distance. So I got a note for that to kind of think about the definition of distance, if it's linear or does it follow the sidewalk. And so there's some suggestions like that that we'll start to take in.
Barbershops and beauty shops.
They're not synonymous?
No, actually, in some of the references, I brought that up with Lee, you can have a beauty shop, but you can't have it.
So I have a lot, and maybe we can do this offline.
Yeah, that's also another way. I mean, I think you're that's probably a good idea, unless there's something that's, because we're going to come back and discuss changes so we can incorporate any changes that you have.
I just have questions
for future discussion.
Yeah, maybe we'll just.
Are there majority for clarification of the definition or
some of them, yes.
Or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. So you went into that detail as far as. Okay. That's what this one.
Yeah, and I have not gone into that detail in review. Like I said, I looked at every definition, searched it to see if it's there, and if it's used, if I find it in the use tables, for example, but it's spelled differently, or like I said, it's different term, but it's supposed to be the same thing and reversed around. That's the extent of as far as I went with regards to changes and other technical differences.
And I talked to you yesterday about actually it's page 6 on adult entertainment, the visit, the measure. As to how we measure that.
Right.
And you and I talked about maybe writing a standard and saying.
Well, that was you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Writing a standard that says, how is that 1,000 feet measured? Or all measurements are. Maybe the definition in the definition that all measurements are measured linearly from the boundaries of the property.
Unless otherwise
specified. But I think that's. I think that's important when people start to figure out if they're going to put some sort of a facility close to a school or a church. They need to be sure how we measure it.
Very clear.
And I think we need to be very clear on that.
Vertical paint church next to the Douglas.
Yeah.
Question about the ones that are being stricken out of the definitions. Is that okay to do because maybe some permits were written off that language in the past? I know you did it in reference to the entire title, but how would that work for current permits that may have used this language? I guess we could go back in time and look at it, but is there any detrimental effect?
They wouldn't. If well, like, you know, just looking at the first page, there's a couple of cases. Abutting commercial and industrial corridors to Carson City is a term. I mean, even starting with abutting commercial, it's just not, it's not a term used. I'm not sure what it's in reference to. It doesn't reference a development standard. So it's not a permit type, so it shouldn't affect any existing permits.
What about access?
And then access is a term that's used, but I didn't have, like I said, at the end of each one of these, I actually have the reason why I'm suggesting it should be deleted. Access is a general term. It has different meanings depending on what section. This is an oddly specific term that is defined in the development standards for a specific application. And I don't think this singular definition of access should be used as the definition of access every time access is used. It's appropriately defined in that particular section of the development standards for what it means in that instance. But I think that's something I was generally going to say about this. If it's defined here, that's what it means every time it's used in the development standards. Otherwise, it's just the general definition of access. I think access
is available
standard term.
This is more specific to the development standards. That's why
to a specific development standard. Yeah,
reference to the development standards. So.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to cover. Anything else on definitions?
The barbershop, beauty shop.
Is there a consideration to consolidate?
Well, I think that's more in the uses. When we get to that.
In the uses there.
I would suggest
that.
Well,
yeah, that's where I noticed that.
On caretakers' quarters, what about caregivers? No, not by this definition. Caretakers, property manager. It's big page 12.
You know what, I'm going to check on that because it's called Watchman's Quarters in 1805. I'll take a look. Provides resident for a property manager. Yeah, I don't think that's the right term because that refers, it refers specifically, I thought, to Watchman's Quarters, which is for a commercial property
but when I read that and looked at the definition, I also thought of a caregiver. If you have quarters,
that's an accessory. Well, right, that's something different.
Okay. A caregiver is
even.
No, it's not.
Accessory. But the first time I read that, I thought that was caregiver instead of caretaker, and it was just confusing.
Yeah, it's on this. It's the very first.
I'll go back, so I didn't delete it, so it must be used somewhere else, but that's inconsistent. Let me see if this Watchman's Quarter is also defined. Watchman's Quarter is also defined, so I'll look, I'll research, I'll go back and look at those and see if they are not the same thing or something different.
I thought you were talking about somebody who is a caregiver for a disabled individual.
Sure, and I didn't know where that fit.
Right now, it would fit as a guest building.
Okay.
Oh, well,
would it be
but that's still for guest family members, not paying guests and family members. Mm-hmm. That's still
the thing. If you were having hospice at home, and you had a building or a guest quarters, and you had a caregiver.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that it belongs in the definitions here, but somewhere along the way, when in
Accessory dwellings.
Accessory dwellings, thank you. I think it needs to get included in there somehow.
I think that's permitted now, because that's a, you have somebody that's not, and they're not paying you, you're paying them.
Yeah.
So that's a person.
It's like Mage Corps.
Yeah.
Right. Page 13.
Big 13 or little 13?
Big 13.
Okay.
Should we go page by page and just see if anyone has issues on them? Are we just going?
I just had a couple of.
Oh, okay.
Well, we might as well. That might be the quick piece. I mean, if there are major issues, whatever. I think
it's a lot of pages. So it's probably a lot of pages with no comment.
Right, that's what
Let's go through each of you if you have some comments.
Okay,
so
sure.
Now.
Okay.
All right. Club supper and amusement. On page 13. Every one of those groups that you mentioned are service clubs. They're not supper clubs and they're not amusement clubs. I would prefer to make that club service, not club, supper club amusement.
Club
service.
Include service in there.
Or include service in there.
Going to the L to the Eagles, that sort of stuff.
Everything, every club you mentioned as an example is a service club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not a supper club or an amusement club.
A Rotary Shriners, right?
Page 17. This goes back to our legal question. You got his or her. Why don't we just say there?
Which one did I change there?
Director.
Director.
It's the director of the community development department or his or her designation.
Or
there.
Their designation.
Page 19, excavations in there twice.
I wanted to delete the first one and moved it alphabetical. Okay. That's what happens. Excavation is in there twice. The first one needs to be deleted because it's in the wrong place alphabetically.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, all right. I need to make that.
Page 21. Why can't a fortune teller be an astrologist? We define an astrologer. We're defining astrology and fortune telling, but we're not selling insurance and we're not doing investments. Those have been eliminated.
Wait. Fortune telling, okay. I'm looking at the fortune telling definition.
We have a definition for astrologer.
Okay.
Why can't they be the same? Why can't it be astrologer / fortune teller? This definition is in the astrology definition.
So I noticed that for some definitions too. What is it saying? Fortune telling. So there are other instances where there's a term used within a definition, and then that thing is defined elsewhere. That certainly can be done. That's probably a
astrologer, hypnotist, fortune teller, psychic arts, and science.
Yeah. Because it includes palmistry.
Mm-hmm. Well, so then we could delete the fortune telling,
right?
Because it just falls under that.
Yeah.
Right. We just have to leave.
Big page 25. Big at the bottom of the page, legal non-conforming buildings is in there twice.
It is.
No,
better. Legal non-conforming use. Because they are two separate terms.
Okay. All right.
You win. You got buildings of use.
Because one relates to the building. Compliance with the building codes.
On page 27 for magazine sales. My comment would be this, but not insurance and investment. What's a case size?
Mm-hmm.
And who's in it?
And who's in it? So I think when we get to the list table, that's probably magazine sales is one.
Well,
it probably is too specific. Doesn't need to be.
It's I don't know that we need to have it in there, but if nothing else, that last phrase, I think you put a period in there.
With the cage that Jesus
stories, photographs.
That of a newspaper.
Stories, photographs, advertising, and other features, period.
I suspect that's one of those uses where if we want to combine more broadly a definition of retail uses, that magazine sales doesn't have to be listed separately.
Mm-hmm. This actually has to deal with whatever it is you're, the size of whatever it is you're selling. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just...
Well, I don't know if we have any newsstands on the corner.
No, this...
No, but...
They used to have the paper stands.
No, the other thing is, though, too, is that, like, I had a friend of mine that had a company that actually put in all of the magazines and books into all the grocery stores
right,
and into all of that. So it's an actual shop within a shop. And they were...
But they have no...
Like all the handouts.
They have no permitting requirements.
Yeah, I'm talking about the books, like all the romance novels and all that stuff, and then all the books, you know, like off-road and all that stuff. So is that what it is? Is that that's part of it?
I think we're getting a little too much detail.
That just seems weird.
That's very strange.
We won't get very far by 4:15.
Okay. Yeah.
I think one more.
Which? At this point, we don't have to solve them all, but I'm making notes to address these definitions.
On page 34, this is the other one I talked to you about, ladies, the definition of pharmacy. Aside from the retail part of the drugstore, everything else in here is identical except in the pharmacy, we say they compound medicines. And I don't think there's a compounding pharmacy left in Carson City.
But what if they want to open?
Pharmacy.
What was the one right on the corner of 15?
Mike's Pharmacy, but he does compounding out of Friendly now.
Oh, he's out of Friendly. I thought he was still doing it somewhere.
I'm just saying that those two ought to be combined. Pharmacy, drugstore.
So drugs, because drugstore, they're allowed, drugs are dispensed, but just not compounded?
Yes. The drugstore can do everything that the pharmacy can do according to these definitions except compound drugs. But if we make it a drugstore and a pharmacy, right, then
pharmacy, and then we can, pharmacy.
We can leave that out.
Yeah.
Okay, the only thing is that there is no pharmacy board, and there is a pharmacy board by the state that regulates the pharmacy itself, and it actually has standards as far as sinks, restrooms, and so forth within its pharmacy.
But I don't know if it affects the description.
Well, oh, yeah, so that's what it has to do. Implications during
it does.
Down the line, the difference between a drugstore.
Yeah,
and
there
pharmacy.
Really is. There is a difference between a drugstore and a pharmacy.
I'm sure that's what this is.
Yeah, I think so, because the thing is, the pharmacy is actually under the state regulations. In a drugstore,
it's prepackaged medications.
Right,
and but you can sell prescription meds.
They have a pharmacist in a drugstore.
Is there a different permitting process for being a pharmacy versus being a drugstore?
Yes. Well, I mean, if you're just selling medical equipment as far as apparatus and crutches and that kind of stuff, you're in one situation. But if you're starting to get into pharmacy, and the only reason I'm saying this is I've had to deal with so many pharmacies with the state that were specifically for dispensing drugs, that they had so many requirements that had to deal with sinks and restrooms that had to be behind in a certain area. And I mean, they have an authority there that was so much different.
Why should we as zoning do that?
Right. So does CVS Pharmacy have different criteria than Dahl's Pharmacy?
That was what I was going to ask. Could CVS start making compounding drugs tomorrow without doing a different permitting process?
But Dahl's Pharmacy here in town doesn't do compounding. No. Their compounding pharmacy is in Fernley.
They're identical. That's what I'm saying. Or the Walgreens.
Everything in town is identical. Costco. For sure. But okay, could Rite Aid or the CVS start compounding drugs tomorrow? Or is there a separate permitting process to become a pharmacy versus what they would be considered as a drugstore? Because if there is a separate permitting process, then I would just say leave them separate.
Well, the other side of that is that doesn't every one of those in town call themselves a pharmacy? They have called themselves, I don't know, anything but where it says CVS drugstore.
Nope.
Well, yeah, I think it's just something we can look at. We're not going to solve it.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, and when we get to uses, pharmacies are, they're pretty much the same, except the pharmacy can be a conditional use in residential office and general office, which is kind of the smaller, but in a drugstore is not permitted in those. I mean, that's another discussion why that is and what
well, it's just, and again,
because they can both sell the same
drugstore. Everyone in town can go anywhere. A pharmacy could be in a medical building. Yeah. Their own small
Nevada Health Centers has their own pharmacy in-house.
They don't call it a drugstore. I guess they started selling bubble gum and they can call it a drugstore.
Smith's has a pharmacy.
They're all pharmacies.
But to his point also, it also the definition of pharmacy also includes retail sales like a drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Finally, I said this once before, but I really quit. Here, on page 45, we've got video sales and rentals. I think that's extremely obsolete.
It's a use though.
Blockbuster? Blockbuster's
a There's still one in town, right, by Porta Subs?
No?
Yeah.
No, that's that phone fix.
I think they still have
They moved over to Carrington's place, yeah.
Well, that's a retail.
What about like a GameStop? Would this be something like video or electronic sales?
And again, we're counted on definitions. I think that fortifies under use.
Electronic games. It does.
Right.
So
that one
video is
coming
out
today.
Sorry to take over.
Which did you have a few?
Yeah. Just a few. I guess we'll start over. Page 80. If you switch the definition to asphalt batch plant and concrete batch plant, I would just suggest get rid of the batch part because the plants don't necessarily have to be batch is the type of process. If you just generally say asphalt plant or concrete plant, it would cover every type.
Having worked in that industry, though, they usually take batch mixing the oil sand is where that description worked. But through me was concrete is, and you don't think of that as being batched.
Yeah.
It's done inside the truck. So, again,
I agree
with you.
The general language is better than specific, if you care. Question on number 11, building materials. Of all those on page 11, wood isn't part of there?
Oops.
Should it be excluded or is that reserved for the lumber?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
The
other thing I noticed, page 13, collectible store. Seemed like there were references to antique stores, and I don't know. I found there were a lot of different definitions related to antiques and secondhand and collectibles, and if there was some way to combine those.
What was the question you just said?
Used sales order.
So bottom of page 13.
Oh, sorry. Bottom of page 13, collectible store. I started to see antiques and secondhand and all these sorts of definitions.
So they say manufactured more than 60 years ago, or it doesn't under the collectibles.
Yeah.
Well, it matters because, and there's a lot of definitions, because a thrift store is not a condition, well, no, not allowed in retail commercial. is not allowed until you get to higher intensity. We don't allow thrift stores downtown. We don't allow thrift stores at retail commercial. We allow thrift sales at general commercial and industrial and more intense uses. And then, so, well, actually thrift store is not used. It's called secondhand business. I get them confused. They're really close definition, secondhand business, secondhand store. What's permitted is all these, is the collectibles that have a definition, a secondhand dealer who deals in a specific commodity, like a used bookstore is one thing. A used bookstore would be allowed, but not a thrift. So, and that it's intentional to include the thrift store that just takes everything and resells everything in certain districts, but to define certain things like collectibles, vintage clothing stores, furniture stores, single item things. So that's part of why the definition there, but I'll flag it and see how that's used.
There seem to just be a lot of other references too, but that's okay. No big deal. Number 14, thank you for letting me look up hippodrome.
What page was that?
This is page 14. Community institutional. Under institutional nonprofit hippodrome.
What's
in here?
It's a chariot racing.
Oh, it's chariot racing?
Yeah. So
it's not bicycles. So they don't call bicycle. That's a velodrome. No, bicycle is a velodrome. That's how old. UPS or other type of store, which is another type of delivery.
Is there another definition for those type of package stores?
Parcel
delivery.
I didn't
see any other.
Actually,
I don't know.
That's questionable. Yeah, actually, there's some definitions that I'm not sure what they are.
Like a FedEx store or a UPS store, maybe this is too specific to not include those places. I don't know.
Delivery service.
Corner on this corner, and you have a lot right here, so the back end of that corner.
picked up them all the time. Yeah. And people say, what's my side, what's my rear? And you have to look at the definition.
You have to.
Other hope you're
going to... Yeah,
Lee and I will, because I have a few. So, Lee and I will go through.
Mr. Preston, anything additional?
Okay. All right, moving on to chapter 1804. This is where all the zoning districts are established, or the administration of the zoning districts and uses. I'm going to talk a little bit specifically about non-conforming uses.
For the record, should we announce B2?
No, it's the same. This is the same item. So this is the same.
All right.
Item on the agenda. Yeah. So the bulk of it, and really the meat of this chapter is that we need to keep is the purpose of each district. The purpose of each district is important. It's important for us to understand, for you to understand, whether certain uses that are, the purpose is important for us to understand as we get on to choosing and modifying uses, right? I mean, so the purpose of the retail commercial district The purpose of the retail district is to preserve a commercial district limited primarily to offices and retail sale of new merchandise, and on, which is why we don't allow thrift stores there. They start in a later district, right? So it's important to consider the purpose of these when considering uses. I think it's also important to consider the purpose of each district in reviewing various types of applications. And then the bulk of it is also allowed uses. And what I've done is, in what's in your packet, is cut out. I was going to try to explain how the current code works about how you've got to look here, and then that use carries forward. So if you want to know if something's permitted in general industrial, you've got to go back to this one, and back six times till you get to residential office where it's permitted. And what did the use tables instead? So it's verified that the use tables that are in your packet are the most accurate as far as we read the code today, verified by us. They're not adopted, but we're going to use them, check them, and prove them. And the idea would be in the new code, this is the way you list uses in a zoning code today. So this is how we'll do it. We'll keep the purpose statements of each district to describe them, but uses will be in a table form similar to this. So let me talk just about a couple things real quick. I just want to touch on non-conforming uses because it's an important legal principle in the code. It's a protection of your rights, the constitutional rights of uses on a property. That if you have established something, that you can keep doing that until you change it. And once it goes away for 1 year, you change it to something else for 1 year, then you lose that right. But it's Fifth Amendment takings clause. You can't just tell somebody, we don't want you to do that on that property anymore, get everything off the property.
I have that highlighted here as well. I was always under the impression that anything that's existing, say going out 50 where it was rural at one time, is all right, but as soon as the property is sold, it has to conform.
It doesn't have anything to do with sale of the property. Yeah, just uses, your special use permits run with the land, your use runs. Yeah, so that, I mean, we have examples.
So if you had a wrecking yard where it shouldn't be going out 50, it can stay a wrecking yard.
And resell as a wrecking yard.
Okay. I was always under the impression that that's when you have the opportunity to update or bring up things.
There are opportunities to bring non-conforming uses into compliance within a reasonable amount of time. You know, the easy examples are things that we've done, like billboards, you know, where I think we gave them 10 years to come into compliance, or I forget what the time frame was, but we adopted a new code. They all had to be a certain height, a certain size. The city gave them a certain amount of time to conform, and now they have been brought into conformance within that time frame.
That's how much time.
Signs are one of the things that are typically have been in other places phased out, and but you usually give them enough time, like 7 years or something like that. You don't say, that's got to go
right
next week or you're in violation. So it kind of depends on what the life of the thing is. And once a use is operationally abandoned or discontinued is the term used in there for a year, then it can't resume unless fully in compliance with the current code. Now, even that brings with it some lot of case law, even to the Supreme Court, of what constitutes abandoned. In other words, if you have a shopping center, you're trying to rent space in your shopping center, but don't have a taker for 14 months, and then you finally get some, was that abandoned? Basically, the courts have said, no, that's not an abandonment of the use. Nobody's been there and using it, but you haven't given up on the use. You haven't changed the use. You've been marketing it for that use. That's been a pretty solid determination. So we factor that into things, too. Something may not actually be happening there, but that doesn't mean the use has been abandoned. Any questions on non-conforming uses?
Number four. In the next one.
What page? Yeah,
what page?
Oh, it's number 50. It's the number four of this slide. There's another slide.
Oh, meaning okay, those.
So page,
it's on page 50.
It's on page 50.
Non-conforming.
49 on page 50 for exceptions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a question on exceptions.
Okay.
Do I have to rebuild my non-conforming building conformingly? In other words, if I had a building that was out in a piece of property and it's non-conforming because it doesn't meet code or for whatever reason, and it half burns down, this says I can rebuild it the way it was, and I'm not sure that's what you want to say.
Provided the repaired building is proportionate to the previous use.
But does it have to meet the new code?
In
other places, it does.
You mean the
well,
new
code? Yeah. I mean, it would have to meet the new building code. So this is, you know, let's say you have a barn that's bigger than it would be allowed, and doesn't meet.
Well,
doesn't
meet my rafters are on 24-inch centers.
Your new construction would have to be.
It doesn't say that in here.
Does this have anything to do with building codes, or is
this
strictly
this is
zoning?
Zoning.
Yeah, so that's they're two different.
Things. Yeah.
And to answer your question, when you go in for permitting, you'll get a permit, and you'll have inspectors that'll go through your new sets of plans.
Oh, sure. I understand that. But we're talking about non-conforming buildings in the zoning code.
But let's go to our definition. What is a non-conforming building that doesn't comply with the zoning?
So if I had a house in the middle of multi-family, and I went to keep my house in the middle of multi-family, and just hit by lightning, half of it's gone, I can build my house back, just like my house that's up there.
Non-conforming building is defined on page 31. It does not conform by its construction. So we would expect it to say something about zoning, that it doesn't comply with zoning or area yard requirements or height, or to the requirements of the building code currently adopted. That is a conflict that needs to be rectified.
P.S. I love the table.
And
I think that
exception paragraph should probably be expanded and clearer.
Non-conforming use is always a hot button topic, I think we need to make sure that it's crystal clear.
Really clear. Yep.
Yeah. However we do it.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on non-conforming uses?
No.
Okay, kind of get flowing into districts and uses. I already kind of talked about the purpose of districts. That purpose statement is also used for the administration of zoning. There's some language in there that similar use. If your use is not, actually, this is kind of key to the rest of our discussion. There's some verbiage in there on, it wasn't clear what exact. Determination of uses is on page 49, and it's 1804.025. So it's where a use is not specifically listed. We make a determination that it's in to kind of determine what if it's close to another use and based on the purpose of that district that it's in. This actually comes up even with this list of uses like Hippodrome that's in there, it's, you know, that broad, this actually occurs quite often. I mean, you get new, you know, we're not going to probably put in cell phone sales. It's probably not going to be a use we list now that will be outdated in another 20 years because it's a retail sales. But so we're using that all the time. You're selling stuff that's retail use here. It goes here. So that's why one of the reasons purpose of districts is important. Okay, now moving into the uses, just primary.
Can I ask you a quick question before you leave that? Is there somewhere in the code, is there a dispute resolution?
Yeah. Appeals. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, this says that you make that determination.
Yep.
And if somebody disagrees, somewhere in here we need to tell them what to do.
It's in 1802 that, so this refers to the director and the director. Oh, does it? Yeah. And the director's decision can be appealed to the planning
board. Okay. That was one other question.
Which you actually got, which unusually you actually got in the last year on our interpretation of the height of the fence in the front yard of the residential district.
Remember the just past the, you know, non-conforming, and I just had a quick question on 1804, the manufactured authorized mobile homes. And you go with page 51, that meant any home manufactured legally, blah, blah. Then it lists all this, a place contained and equipped it. Who enforces all that?
You read my mind.
There's six things that it says, all windows manufactured, no cracked roofs, no, I've driven around.
So which, are you talking about A or B?
I'm talking
so
A, referencing B.
So the exception is. So let's
no, I'm
go
talking
back.
Under B where it says this is what it has to do.
Right, so.
Who enforces all that?
We do when they come in for a permit with zoning. We've gone out and done inspections on
well, this isn't on if it's been sitting there 10 or 15 years.
Gosh, when they bring it in,
it's only when they're
for the, this is
in.
What this is the requirements for when you
install a mobile
yeah.
home. Okay.
When a mobile home is installed in Carson City, yeah. It has to be. Yeah.
Okay, so all of the current existing mobile home parks, once they're set, nobody cares.
Right. Okay. Now the state manufactured housing division cares if they have enough people in the office to care.
Yeah, and then going on under 53, it mentions 1 acre can be a mobile home park. I guess you could put two on it. Two rental mobile units or more on a single parcel are considered a mobile home park on page 54. So if you put a mobile home and bring your kids, put another one for them, it's a park. Right? So, okay. All right.
It's
going to take us away from the other stuff.
Oh, but off airport, what's that? Carmine. Yeah. All houses with lots behind them, one or two back there.
Mm-hmm. So theoretically, each one of those is a park.
Yeah.
And page 55, the downtown mixed use. I guess I am making an assumption, and that I could be incorrect in this, but this also includes restaurants because it's like merchandise, office, residential, and tourist-related issues.
Uses.
Or uses. Would tourist-related uses be considered restaurants?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, thinking about, is restaurants listed in any of them?
I
don't think so.
No, I just.
Well, no business is identified in any of them.
Restaurant is identified.
No, but in the actual uses, the description of the businesses, they just say.
I guess I was just kind of.
Should say services and sales.
Yeah, if it were a service business, that would be a restaurant or whatever.
And we don't have casinos anywhere. Definition.
No, we don't.
Gaming.
Gaming? Is it gaming?
Yeah. Gaming.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering if that included standalone restaurant.
And like.
You know, like the union or, you know, I know it's a.
Yeah, so obviously, starting to get, in other words, getting into the uses, this is a good segue for that discussion because, so there's a general purpose of the district. So when you're then thinking about the uses that belong as a permitted use in those districts, you kind of think of that statement. You don't necessarily need to list restaurants specifically to allow restaurants under that purpose. So it's perfectly appropriate to say under tourist, you know, that is retail sales and tourist uses, there's restaurants. I'm not saying we shouldn't amend it or can't modify it, but that is exactly how you look at it, to look at what's going to be appropriate permitted use, or maybe it doesn't necessarily fit, but might in some cases, and it's a conditional use.
Do we have the definition of tourist-related uses?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
But that's okay. It's okay, because it's just the purpose.
Yeah, so it's, you get to, we get
well,
to,
include
we, get, we get to, that's we get to, we get to make a legislative decision in this and define what we think that means, and we could do that.
Because you could get into some interesting little tourist-related uses if you don't.
But see, there's nothing like beauty shops in there. And I mean, I'm just thinking about what our town looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it says sale of, what is it, sale of new merchandise.
Yeah, but does that cut my hair, does
it? Well, you thought they got their product, you know, $800.
No, but I'm just saying that just doesn't, because it's out here as a specific thing. You know.
Yeah, service. I don't think services is used in any of the.
So we're kind of going over the districts now.
Yeah, services.
If I look at, I'm trying something on our table.
And I think if we go the direction I'm kind of thinking of with more retail and services, broader definitions, that's probably something we want to think about including.
But I was trying to tell you about yesterday on page 57. Where you have public neighborhood PN and you have public neighborhood community PC, the only difference being that in the public neighborhood utility substations are prohibited within the PN district. Other than that, the descriptions are the exact same. So why couldn't those be combined?
That's probably, well, because that might be important that a utility substation is not put next to your house in the public neighborhood.
You're saying in the combined the two, but in the PN, that it's not, you know, you're repeating identical.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Have them together, then in the PN, no utility substation or something to that effect. I mean, I'm just trying to look consolidate or whatever. Oh,
yeah, which is done elsewhere earlier. Combined with.
It just, there's so limited difference between the two, except that, all right, that one item.
I can look at that. Okay.
So I was just trying to use the table.
Yeah, primary. So let me, before we do that though, purpose of district, so you kind of understand that is before we start shifting uses around. Primary permitted uses, so as I said, those uses that with the, you know, with impacts that, you know, would be expected under that purpose of that district. Conditional uses, I think as you can see what they are sometimes, they may be permitted, but they may need conditions, operational conditions, screening, those types of things to mitigate impacts to those that would be expected per the purpose of that district. And kind of, I think, you know, it's a question, and I think this circles back to the findings too, that's in the administration 1802 that we've already gone over, and, you know, where it says, are there any detrimental impacts? We're going to need to go back and rework those. Because the baseline's not dirt to whatever's there. The baseline really should be what the purpose of that zoning is to start with, and are they creating impacts beyond that or something to that effect. And fortunately for us, Reno is starting the process to update their code and workshop and update their findings on all of theirs to kind of make them specific, so we're not afraid to kind of walk, see what they're doing and bring them to you to see how those are working out.
And going back to the districts as well, if you go to page 3 from the very beginning, where you have the graph.
Yeah, they're at this thing.
Under GIA, which is the airport, the conditional is the same as GI, and yet what's allowed is, they have more conditional than what's allowed.
So
it's a bigger section.
This is not to scale. It's kind of
okay. I'm just saying,
kind of representative.
Is there no way to just reference GI and then at the airport there's no commercial? That's the basic difference, right?
I think so. The purpose of this was to show kind of how our existing uses and use table is structured. So to kind of take everything from here over, it's kind of like everything starts here, so an office use is only listed there because then it carries forward to there. It kind of builds on that.
Right.
Generally, there's exceptions to that. Then you start to get here and schools aren't permitted. You start dropping off. So there's no residential, no schools and things like that. So some things start dropping off.
I'm sorry.
And this is some kind of random line on intensity of uses. You start to get industrial uses here, which are certainly some limited industrial in these uses. But then you see like auto body shops, something somebody might consider a little bit industrial, like additional uses, they start to show up in general commercial here. And then you have GIA that has all of these industrial uses, but drops up. They don't want people coming. So all of these uses that are retail and that build up to this point, those all drop off because this is an area where they don't want people coming in for retail services on a daily or service-oriented businesses on a daily basis. Airport industrial, all those uses, they don't want people there either. And the uses are more limited there. They don't want the heavy industrial uses that are allowed here. And then downtown mixed use is another one that's on its own. It doesn't, nothing carries over. It has its own list. So it kind of sits over here somewhere.
But the airport basically ends up with two of its own things.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think
very
kind of conceptually, it's presently intentionally that way. The airport was created. This is a pretty new one. It was created to allow the heavy industrial. Come on in.
The water's fine.
You would think they would just have the airport and then what's allowed around it, but they've kind of combined it all into one. At the airport and around is all the same thing, I guess. So how Reno does it? If the airport in Reno is the land around it considered part of the airport, I guess, because it's in flight paths and whatever, I guess it's not that complicated. I just was wondering why it was.
This is private property, so this isn't industrial. This is kind of a conscientious. Actually, kind of honestly, I just came in to Carson City as they were doing it. As they were updating the code back then, and really, the city was going down a totally different path of creating new zoning districts and doing what we're doing now, and they came out and said, we like what we have, don't change anything that we have.
So the airport itself is also.
No, airport, this is all private property. This is all private property, but it's on the north side of the airport, close to the airport. They want a limited number of uses, and they don't want retail traffic going through there. And then this is in a very close vicinity to that, kind of the same principle.
Thank you.
And with that, I can pull up. Also in this section is all the setbacks, height requirements, and things like that. It's attached in there. Does anybody have any questions on those, or can we get into the use tables?
Yeah.
So on the use tables, they start on 63. How many?
Before you go,
yes.
On page 59 and 60. On the bottom of page 59, we have the MFA district.
Is that what this all is?
And all the data is on the next page. That needs to be together.
It's a little after 4 now. Probably got about a good 30 minutes to go through this. The tables are broken into residential use district tables, which we'll start with, which is only a couple pages. And then, the bulk of this is going to be the commercial and industrial districts, these tables that when I get to, it's thick, but there's actually more than one set of tables in here because I did them alphabetically, and then I think on the 11th page, I also grouped some uses, retail uses and service uses and industrial uses.
And you can put a cemetery on 5 acres or in the only MHP area.
But let's start with the residential district use tables. Go through that. That's only 2 pages. That's short, so hopefully we can get through that pretty quick. Maybe before talking to the use tables again, it's in the again. We haven't taken a shot at making any substantive changes in this yet, but. When we did the downtown mixed use, we specifically said retail uses and service uses, and there's definitions for those. We didn't want to try to list every type of retail business that you might have. We didn't want to list every type of service. We wanted a general kind of a performance standard type of definition that if you do this type of business, then it's appropriate. And as you sell different things or different type of new services become a thing, they're permitted. You don't have to list a new service every time. My suggestion would be to delete, especially when we get into non-residential, is to combine a lot of those, to delete a lot of listed uses in there, the assayers, the lapidary services, whatever.
Right.
Bible supply stores are kind of more specific than they need to be for purposes.
Like you said, a bookstore, a Bible, a book.
It's a bookstore, it's a retail store, it's a supply. Yeah, it's a. So
like
that's a general statement before
you
get
into this. It's more general, and just instead of having each one listed.
However, that being said, as we look at retail uses, maybe combining a lot, you probably still want to have maybe automobile, just for as an example, automobile sales is retail, but display of automobiles outside is a totally different impact than selling books. So maybe we do want to keep that as a separate use and see what zoning is appropriate. So that's kind of a general philosophy that I think I would, if I get some buy-in leaving today on that, I think we don't need to do, we're not going to accomplish that going through the list today at all, but I take comments, and if you agree with that, in the next round of review of this, we could attempt to do that, if you kind of agree with that concept. Okay? All right.
If I'm looking at the residential, we under about halfway down the Concord Care Housing Senior Citizens Home, over in the middle, there are doctors and offices and that, there's all kinds of those over there. So there's people being cared for in homes in by big, single family, 6,000, 12,000, whatever. And it's saying here it's only allowed under MFA.
So congregate care is, it's
defined.
It would
be like where you could put somebody in there to help watch them and they live there or whatever.
So congregate care is a big facility, but like the new one on Mountain Street by the old hospital, that's a congregate care facility.
What about a place that takes six seniors in here, my dad, whatever, and they're helping care for them? What does that go under?
It's a single-family residence. So that there's by state law, we have to include certain things in our definition of single-family residence and treat them like a single-family residence. So that's where, that's why we have some facilities.
I was looking at it from the bottom up instead of the top down.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any comments on it? Again, I don't have any suggestions of changes myself. I think we, as staff, still need to go through it and take everybody's suggestions. And
I still have my same two. Barbershop, beauty shop, pharmacy, and drugstore.
Let's start with the residential table. Just the first two pages. So in residential, which starts with single family 5 acre, I mean, I think you get the zoning for this. The zoning is the 5 acre, 2 acre, 1 acre, those are lots. They're all lot sizes. When you get down to 21, it's talking about square feet. So you have descending lot sizes. Mobile home is the manufactured home. Multifamily dweller, multifamily apartment are different intensities.
Quick question, what's the difference? How close, what is single family 21,000 compared to an acre? How big is
half an acre.
That's half, okay, yeah. Thank you.
So that's why, animal keeping, animals and fowl is only in single family one, two, and five.
How come you start in single family 5 acre? In other words, you're descending.
I've put it in the order that it's in the code currently, if that helps you at all to go through it.
That's the larger piece, and it works to the
smallest. But there's no reason to do that.
Because now the way it works is that number, the 6,000 square feet, it's up to 6,000. Then you jump to the next one, right? So it's 6,000. So let's say if I had a 10,000 square single family, that would fall under the 12, because it's 12 and lower, right?
No. Well, at least it's the other.
Okay. So you're 10 of these single families.
The zoning is a zone. So it's not, uses are not based on your actual parcel size. It's based on the zoning.
Okay.
And I think the idea of doing it this way possibly, but single family 5 acres could allow more than 2 acres and 1 acre, so it kind of keeps your checks closer to your description. It's kind of a little easier to read this way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because if you look at it, each one you go over, there's less checks. So.
You know, and one of the things I've...
That's a logic.
Next time we're going to, the next chapter that we get into is going to talk about accessory structures, by the way, and size of accessory structures and accessory farm structures, so we look forward to having that conversation.
Very much so, since I've seen about 40% of our special use permits, we can enlarge that in any way where you've got us at this point instead of that conversation.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this thing on the animals and the fowl, because the pot-bellied pig thing and all that stuff. And wouldn't that be within the single family 21, 12, and 6 be able to have pot-bellied pigs and chickens? Isn't that what our code says that they could do? Yeah.
The animal code, the Title 7, right?
This is the one where Mayor Marr said that everybody could have a
Mayor
Cole. No, so Mayor Cole, compliance. Mayor Marr said they could have his pig.
I remember that.
Yes. And I have neighbors that have chickens.
Everywhere. And you said if you had single family, you could have the pot-bellied pig and you could have the chicken.
Animals and fowl means the keeping of horses, swine, fowl. She also said it does include those things.
Yeah, pot-bellied pigs and chickens.
Notwithstanding the zoning regulations, the keeping of in this title, the zoning, the keeping of animals is regulated and further defined under Carson City Municipal Title 17 animals.
And that's where they get down as to how many chickens or you can have.
Yeah, you can have chickens, but you can pop out pigs, and you can do them in SF, any
But here you could have a whole herd of pigs.
Is there, are they a herd of pigs?
Or would have a whole covey, but you name it. A bunch of the middle smelling guys.
Going back to what Lee just told you on accessory structures, and it's kind of a coming attraction, but what you're going to see is the way farm structures are regulated is different than non-farm structures, and it creates a challenge for the staff. I had a gentleman in the office last week who's going to build a barn for his cars.
For his cars.
Well, with the key to that being in the next chapter, they get around the size requirement by being a farm structure.
So we're going to have to think about if we really want to treat them differently. We want accessory structures.
What we want to do is increase the permitted size and get rid of the distinction.
Exactly.
Whether it's a barn or a garage.
Truth of the matter is Chuck can build a barn for his horses. Terry can buy the property. She doesn't have horses. Does that mean she can't use it for her cars?
Cars are going in. All that
oxygen. I think we, like you said, and that's what we always consider, let's attack it by the percentage and the size of the original building. It doesn't happen.
And just call a building a building.
Yeah, because this doesn't talk about the structure. It talks about the keeping of the animal in it.
No, I'm looking at the very top.
That's further defined, though, when you get into where you can have chickens, but you only have four of them.
This table ought to say A1, A2, or with a footnote on these, on 21 through whatever, it ought to have a footnote that says they're permitted here.
Or C, whatever.
And according to the code.
C, code 17, whatever it is.
Because this says, if I'm looking at it, this says I can't have a chicken unless I have an acre.
Right, exactly.
I'll just note too under laboratory that's permitted in residential office. That's something I need to go back to definition because laboratories it's either a residential office or it's general industrial. There's nothing in between. We need to clean that up because it's little labs and then it's like laboratory like some plutonium laboratory.
No, it's something I know my wife was a medical technologist. You've got labs in the Carson Med Group. You've got it in the med office over by Wells Fargo. It's your small labs that work inside that.
I just know there's some definitions coming up we need to do.
Well, and then the other thing is, though, too, is the one that came up is veterinarian, because veterinarians have dog boarding. Remember, we ran into that stuff, too. So.
Well, on this first two pages, a lot of those issues are in the RO zoning. Mm-hmm. If the RO zoning wasn't in residential.
Those are a carryover, right? It's both a residential and an office district, so it shows up on this table and then the next table.
Yeah.
So we can
just probably take it off of this table and it'll solve some of these recession problems.
There's some references to residential districts and it's included in the table. So we'll look at the.
Well,
there might be some
like clinic.
There might be some impacts to that.
Like
it's
mortuary.
No, oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Do you want a mortuary back here?
No, but it's only allowed in an RO district.
Yeah,
it's not
a
residential. Yeah. This is a residential case.
There's some things that refer to the list of residential uses and stuff, and we use those.
Or zoning districts and the setbacks and derivative of the whether you're next to a residential district.
For example.
And that's always a challenge. What do we call RO?
And it's an office I've never.
Yeah, not again.
Is in the residential tables, you've got pharmacy that is subject to special use permit in RO, and then you go to the commercial ones, the pharmacy and drugstore.
But RO isn't a residential.
There is a pharmacy.
We'll look for the code and see what the downside is of moving RO out of residential.
Well, there is no.
That's
what I'm saying. It just.
Yeah, why is there pharmacy and drugstore? Wouldn't you be one of the
building, museum, nursery, all those would drop out if you just got rid of the other one. Mm-hmm.
And I added the residential is because residential multifamily is how it's used in Title 18 as permitted use.
It's still taking RO.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, compared to RO out, you know, like I have a lot of people that want to be in a residential office so they can live
but
in their office.
That's not RO.
That's
not RO. Well, RO is residential office. It's a residential office.
RO is a zoning
district.
Where you can have a single family home
or
a duplex.
I was doing public regional.
Right. Yeah.
And so all those medical buildings are all up around.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why you have all the massage therapists and accounts with their attorneys and
That doesn't mean it can't just be in the use table. I think our only question is when it shows up as a residential use in this use table, there are some references, like she said, to setbacks from commercial zoning or setbacks from residential zoning in real life. So we just want to make sure that there's not any unintended consequences of this.
What's difficult with the residential district use table compared to the next one, the commercial and industrial district, is the fact that there's very little permitted.
Mostly residential stuff.
You're permitted manufactured homing is permitted. Everything else looks like they have to have a use permit to do any of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different or bad?
I guess you're basically saying you can put a house there, but if you want to use it for anything but a house, and that's probably a good thing. You have to get permission to do it. That's good.
Do you want to move on?
I just had a quick suggestion. I know we're running out of time, but I was on page 65, which is the start of the commercial industrial, and then I got to 75, and it started retail, and I started to see duplicates.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was trying to figure out how these sections related to each other. So maybe if we had a title starting on page 65 that said general commercial industrial uses, and then maybe have the... Because I liked how it was broken up after that, 75 and beyond, you know, between office uses, restaurant, that made it a little more clear. But I started getting confused by this first section, how that was related to these subsequent sections.
Well, I think he was breaking them down by section, and then this
is
but general.
But if the heading said something different, it would
have been. Yeah, the heading would have just said, okay, these are the general uses, these are the retail uses. I might suggest even if the uses are buried in the retail, pull them out of the general. And that way people can go, am I doing retail? I should go to that. I don't know. That might shrink this a little. I know for some things I've dealt with, having things in duplicate locations, you're going to have more errors.
That's not a bad idea because it makes it split. It's like my use is a retail use. You go look for it there.
Just go to the retail and say, where do I fit?
I don't know. At a minimum, I just suggest a title on 65.
Yeah, so those first 10 pages of the commercial use table are all the currently listed uses alphabetically. And then after that, as you said, I pulled out... retail uses, personal service uses, office uses, restaurants, and industrial uses. But that's not necessarily all of the uses that are listed in here. Like adult entertainment is not listed in those tables later. So there's still uses that are other uses, but that may be another category. Other uses would be another category. I think actually for the purposes of going through this, I think it's easier to start on page 75 and look at them grouped together.
That's what I kind of ended up doing.
Yeah. So I'll do that next time. It's just limited to that.
If it was like here's a section that says retail uses, then here's a section that says personal services, and then this page 65 says others.
Others, right. Mm-hmm.
That aren't included.
And take out I'll do that and see what it looks like. Okay, so like two retail uses, again, I haven't even started to try to do this, but you know, it would be something where I would kind of look down at all these similar retail uses, such as a bookstore, candy and confectionery retail, clock retail and repair, etc. that kind of fall into the same columns, the same permitted uses in the same places, and let's just make sure we have a definition of retail sales that generally captures those types of uses. Everybody disagree with that?
No.
So looking at the retail uses, or I guess, you know, starting with those, does anybody have any other questions or comments on? I put big question marks, but there's a use called stained glass.
Yeah.
With no definition. So are they making it? Are they selling it? I put it.
Yes.
Do you have a stained glass studio in your garage?
If we don't know what it is, we're going to believe. And even a stamp shop. What is
rubber stamps.
Okay.
Is it rubber stamps or is it metal stamps?
Or is it collector stamps?
Well, there's that collector stamp store over there.
No, behind. But that's not called a stamp store. That's a stamp. Phyllis, whatever it is.
Behind the restaurant.
Yeah.
We probably need to define
it.
It's not philanthropy, it's about something, but there is a term for stamp collecting.
Yeah, I know.
Correct. Put it in a bucket when they apply for a permit.
And this is where, so noted, thrift store is listed as a use, but it's also called secondhand. Or maybe I added, you know what? I didn't add it because it would be underlined if I added. So I don't know why it shows up as both thrift store, but a secondhand business is by definition a thrift shop. Or a thrift store. So there's things like that that are different and not selling retail goods that we would keep as different separate definitions.
And on page 75 under commercial industrial, you do have drugstore and pharmacy listed together.
And, but then there's a separate pharmacy.
Because it's listed together like that in the, that's how it's listed together in under neighborhood business.
But under residential district on page 63, you've got pharmacy.
I know.
That's
how it's listed.
Yeah, because it's in a row. We don't want it to go to the store and you just have the pharmacy compounding in the back room.
Well, so looking at that, what do we think about a drugstore? So a pharmacy is a conditional use in RO and GO. So why would we not allow a drugstore by the same special use permit standard?
Well, I got the description of the two. It may go into more what a drugstore sells.
Well, one of the things this is...
If you're going to have a soda fountain in a drugstore, do you have one in a pharmacy?
Let's look at this. Let's just look back at the Mike's Pharmacy and in the CVS. One of the things is parking.
Well, yeah, but I think if they're all subject to the special use permit...
Well, they're all subject to the parking requirement, too.
Right. See, I mean, that's one of the things. When I look at a drugstore, I think it's got everything in there. I can get my, you know, camera taken care of. I can do everything. But right. Pharmacy is more specific. And it has less requirements for parking.
But they're both
so you like it being, you think...
I think the pharmacy should be a separate thing because you have a pharmacy.
But there's not a single drugstore listed in Carson City.
I think we should look at the definition.
Well, but either way, if they're all subject to, in here, if we make pharmacies and drugstores subject to special use permits, I didn't look at if they all are, but the ones I looked at were.
The ROs are.
Yeah, then it doesn't matter. We'll get it, or a commission will get it anyways and be able to figure out whether they want a CVS or Mike's used to be or a smaller or something. You know what I mean? If it's all subject to review, I hear what you're saying, but
pharmacy is more of a medical type of thing. Drugstore is the retail that brings it all in.
So I see it's
different. I just definitely see them discriminated against barbers.
There's
another one that bugs me too. Let me tell you this one. Is if somebody has permanent makeup and they get a license through the cosmetology and they're in a barbershop, they're not allowed unless it's actually in a beauty shop. They can't do it, or they're also considered as tattoo. So why is this, you know, but they should be in the same thing, in my opinion, as the anestheticians and some of these other people that have those type of things.
We've come up against that with the Commissioner Tingle and others. You know, why are tattoo parlors so discriminant? It goes back to history.
It goes back to history, but the only thing is that the tattoo parlors is that you look at permanent makeup is actually regulated by the cosmetology board.
So I wanted to get some clarification on that. So they're required, permanent tattoos are required to be in a same place as a cosmetologist?
No, they're not. But the way that our zoning, I mean, I have a little gal, one of my gals I work with, she does lashes, and she was told that because she was in the RO district, she can't do permanent makeup, even though she's licensed to do that. Yeah. She was told she could not do that. She had to have it be in a place that was specifically for a beauty shop, even though she has the license.
Because piercing and permanent makeup and that can be done in a beauty shop, but it can also be done in a tattoo parlor with a beauty shop.
But it can't be done in RO, which is an esthetician, which is that's how it's licensed under cosmetology. So that's the question for it, because she was told, oh, you can maybe get a special use permit as a tattoo parlor.
No, we have some provisions in there. It's not an esthetician's license, though, to do that, right?
Yeah, it is through the cosmetology, yes.
Doing permanent makeup is part of an esthetician's?
Yeah, they can go in and get an additional license, yes.
Maybe you have to be an esthetician to get it, but it's not just a simple esthetician.
I'm going to make a note of that, permanent, because we have a definition of esthetician, which is allowed where massage therapy is, which is in residential offices.
Yeah, and we've got
people
doing like acupuncture in an esthetician's offices. You know, which maybe they might not be doing oriental medicine. So I mean, we've got some other different things going on that are different, but they're precluded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because beauty parlors can do all the piercings.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is in beauty parlors they can actually do they cannot do the. A lot of permanent makeup. They can do microblading, but they can't do permanent makeup. So, I mean, there's some different things.
Well, and as far as pharmacies go, like Nevada Health Center says their own internal pharmacy, but I believe the only people that can get pharmaceuticals or prescriptions filled there are the patients of the health center.
Same thing with the cancer centers. They all have their own health pharmacies. They have to be regulated separately.
And I totally agree that they should be kept separate, but it's in terms of the tables or how they're looked at, I don't see what, in the areas that are subject to review, why not just combine them? I mean, or not, it doesn't really matter. I think it's pretty well defined. But there are essentially, definitionally, the only difference, they sell exactly the same stuff except one compounds and one doesn't. So, if they're subject to in a residential office, why not just combine it instead of having multiple different places?
They were approaching. We need to discuss.
You know what I think? Oh yeah, I did add esthetician, because it was the same as under the definition of massage therapy, and it's permitted in residential office. And I'd like to learn more about that, if it should be included in that definition.
Kathy Green keeps the state law in her code that has that definition. So maybe the state law is going to change, and we just have to get that. Page 19, we put it in.
Well, I'm adding it only because it was previously buried in the massage therapy definition.
We'll pull the state law thing to make sure it captures.
Let's look at personal services. That's what we're kind of talking about. So barbershop and beauty shop, I'm not sure of the history where a beauty shop is allowed in general office and a barbershop is not. We've had requests to allow it in residential office. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anybody have thoughts on that?
Well, we already had, well, there's some, I'm sure, I doubt that it's actually was zoned at the time, but out on Airport Road, there's like people that have a house that have a beauty shop in the front, right there behind the sound place. I mean, they've been there for 50-odd years.
Over where Paul Fisher Tower.
Well, that's commercial.
It's just on Division Street. There was a barber shop in there that I used to go to back 15, 20 years ago.
So we're talking from the residential office, think about Nevada Street.
Right.
And, you know, Minnesota Street, where you have some of the offices mixed in there.
Mm-hmm. So why couldn't you put a barber shop there?
Or why couldn't you put a beauty shop in there? I mean, if you've got people that are doing...
And you have the parking. You have the parking to do it. You have a couple of
chairs.
You can, right there by, as I say, by State Farm, and Paul Fisher Chiropractic on Division in Washington. Mm-hmm. There was a barber shop that he used to be over by the community center, and he moved into that house back 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Not true.
Yeah, but I mean...
He lived there.
It just seems weird that you have beauty shops that are allowed in one area, and then, like, Curry Street is a wonderful thing, because you've got Curry Street where you have barbershop, beauty shops all along there, and then you go down, and you get down further on the other side of Washington, and you don't. And it's still our own. So I'm going, okay, why not?
Want to tell me?
Anyway, we need to discuss
once in their house.
Other meetings. Well, we'll yeah, your
do I, so just to wrap this up, I think, yeah, we'll, before, yeah, moving to wrap this up, I think we don't want to wrap it up. We probably want to come back and revisit this and finish this. I think I got some general direction. Let's give us some chance to kind of try to combine some and fix definitions and things and come back with that. But I think, moving forward, the next, when we get into moving on to the next chapter is actually pretty substantive in itself, because it's general provisions. It covers a variety of things. Home occupations, the except farm structures, accessory structures, manufactured home, wind turbines, etc. And so I think if we had another 2 hours sometime and finished up this and start to get in that, we'd be
probably could do some of that, I think, as well.
So let's talk about meeting time. So I haven't brought this to you for the last couple of planning commission meetings, because we keep getting planning commission applications and having fairly long meetings without adding this to it. So in the past, it's possible there be months that we don't. Mm-hmm. Wasn't today a deadline?
Next month, I think, is late. But I think this format in this room is more conducive to a conversation.
We still need an hour and a half, I think, if we're going to take a topic and add an hour and a half on top of a regular meeting that makes it kind of long.
Yeah.
I think we're quite much better in this setting.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
I would prefer
workshop settings.
A workshop. Even if it was once a month.
So what? How did this day work? I mean, the Thursday before the planning commission meeting, 3 o'clock. Yeah. I know.
Well, you work, Jay.
Yeah,
looking. And now it works.
It's an excuse to leave early.
And Terry works.
Yeah. I think 3 is a good time.
And Thursdays for us, because through at least through October and into November, we have our new permitting system meetings through Thursday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, through Thursday morning. So we're kind of occupying this room for that, at least every other week. So,
November,
this time next week, I'll send out calendar invitations then to just block this out for each month going forward, except maybe Christmas.
In November,
we are
going to
have our
Thanksgiving.
So we'll see you next year.
Okay,
great.
Yeah, maybe we can rearrange it.
A little faster than a month.
Yeah.
Like two or three
Right.
Whatever works for your staff to get things together.
Okay.
So we'll wait to hear from staff on that.
Yeah.
And so, public comment, the public was invited this time to comment. I don't discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matters that is not specifically included in the agenda as an action item. Seeing no public comment, motion for adjournment.
I'm going to adjourn.
Commissioner Board is moving to adjourn.
Second.
Second, and all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Thank you.